Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live, straight from the whipping up a poetic fusion of life, love, laughter, inspiration, motivation, education, and mental stimulation. With a cherry on top, with our weekly hot topics on everyday relations, welcome to Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio. With your host, your Poetic Energy herself, bringing the electric current with her own poetic flow, weekly featured guests, and open mic segments. She promises to keep the currents and the waves live at all times. Here on Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio. Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio. The number to chime in and express yourself is 917-932-8881. That's 917-932-8881. Non-U.S. listeners, dial 1-877-218-1183. That's 1-877-218-1183.
Well, good evening, Detroit and all our global listeners. Thank you for tuning in to the Poetic Energy Network station. I am your host, Ms. Poetic Energy, coming to you live in the evening time. We have a very special guest that's going to be joining us this evening. We are so excited to have her here to shed some light on the topic of twin flames and soulmates. So many of you have had the questions about how do you identify with your soulmate or your twin flame. Well, she says she's not an expert, but she's definitely going to shed a little light on the topic for us this evening. And I'm so excited to have her here to discuss. I know so many of you have sent in messages to me wondering when I was going to have this show. We finally have someone that's really going to talk to us very candidly about the topic. I definitely want to welcome her onto the show. We have Ms. Lori Kornborn, who is has a master's in social degree, social work, and she's from the University of Michigan. She is a 25-year psychotherapist, and not to mention that she is the author of an awesome book entitled Breaking Free. And we're going to talk to her this evening about that. But Detroit and all our global listeners, help me welcome Ms. Lori Kornborn to the show. Lori, how are you this evening?
I'm good, Michelle. How are you?
I'm doing great. Great to have you on the show this evening.
Thank you.
This topic is something that's so widely explored. So many people want to know so much about the twin flame and the dynamics of having a soulmate or identifying with a soulmate. Can you tell the people a little bit about yourself first, and then we'll just jump right into the discussion?
Sure. My experience with soulmates and twin flame is personal rather than just having read about it. And I've also researched it quite a bit and am currently working on two separate books about it, one which will explain it to the general public through the use of movies about romantic themes and soulmates, and another book that will be my memoir. I currently have a book on forgiveness based on the spiritual path of A Course in Miracles, and what happened with that book was very interesting. My twin flame is a man I met 25 years ago, and we have not seen each other now in over 8 years. Prior to that, we went for 10 years without seeing each other before we reunited, tried to get back together, and it didn't work. And the popular myth about soulmates and twin flames is that when you meet your soulmate, life is wonderful and your problems are over and you'll love this person and live happily ever after. And the actual reality is that most twin flame relationships crash and burn like mine did. And what happens is if you don't know how to navigate through these treacherous waters, you get pulled under. And I had no idea what was going on, which is why I want to write these books, so that other people don't have to crash and burn and that they can keep their love alive. If I had known 25 years ago what I know today, I think my relationship could have been saved. The saving grace is that currently I am in a very healthy, loving, good relationship with a soulmate of mine. And because my twin flame is a person who has alcoholism and mental health issues, and he's not healthy enough to be in a relationship, but I am. And so I was able to take what I learned through all my research and apply it to this current relationship, so I'm very happy and in a very stable place in my life. So that is an overview. The book that I wrote on A Course in Miracles called Breaking Free, How Forgiveness and A Course in Miracles Can Set You Free, actually came out as a result of forgiving my twin flame. After about 15 years of struggling with him, and being very hurt and very angry at him running away from me, which is a very common factor in twin flame relationships, that one of the people will run away because it's so scary, I said, I have got to stop making him wrong. And a week later, the book on forgiveness poured out of me. It was like spirit was just rushing to have that book written. And so it's very interesting that a lot of my life journey and my books now are about this twin flame.
Wow. Now, the difference, a lot of people do not understand technically the differences between a soulmate and a twin flame. Can you kind of, to give us a definition between the two and what differences they are?
Yes. That's an excellent question and a good distinction. We have usually about 3 to 6 soulmates in our lives, and these would be the people that are extremely close to us, and we may even have 20 people that we're really close to, but somehow with a soulmate, there is a different bond. And a lot of parents can tell this kind of thing, where if they, say, have 3 children, there might be one of those children that they are particularly close to. Or among a sibling group, your brothers and sisters, there may be one of your brothers or sisters that you're particularly close to. Or even if you've been married or had several love relationships, there may be one of those that you're particularly close to. And that would be what we would call our soulmate. A soulmate is a very close, intimate connection where it's just this bond that doesn't break. It doesn't go away. These people are really integral in our life lessons, and they're here in our lives to either help us along or to fulfill some type of learning lesson for our soul so that we can advance in our higher consciousness toward becoming our God-like self, our higher self. So these people are very important. They're in our inner circle. They could be seen as the main characters in our movie or the heart and lungs of our bodies. They're very important. The difference with a twin flame is that you basically have one twin flame. And the twin flame can be seen as the other half of your soul. Whereas the soulmates are very close to you, the twin flame is like an exact half. It's like one egg was split in half. And the female side goes off to one side and the male side goes off another direction, and then they're constantly seeking to reunite and join as a whole. Each individual person is a whole person within themselves, but there is this drive to reunite, and that compelling magnetic bond is something that won't let you go. And so when I met my twin flame, it was much different than these other soulmates that I've had. This person is like in every fiber of my being, whereas the other soulmates are very close to me. There's a qualitative difference with this other person, and people will say things like, oh, we finish each other's sentences, or that person feels like if I were a man or a woman, that's who I would be, things like that. So it's something where it's the deeper than the deepest ocean, and the twin flame actually comes about when you are spiritually ready to evolve to a higher level of consciousness. So the twin flame, even if you've lost your twin flame or the relationship, the romance does not work in itself, the twin flame bond continues. And just as in my case, the twin flame energy and that bond propelled me toward my spiritual growth. And that is actually the purpose of the twin flame relationship.
Wow. So are you essentially saying that it's a better relationship with the soulmate as opposed to your twin flame? Because a twin flame is not necessarily someone that you're going to be with romantically?
It can be. It all depends on the maturity level of each of the people. For example, there are different types of soulmates too. There are companion soulmates, which would tend to be people that are just helpful and loving, and you have a deep bond. For example, my father, he was a companion soulmate to me, and my father just passed away 4 days ago. And he was a person in my life who always loved and supported me. So that would be a companion soulmate, and there's not a lot of conflict in those. There can be karmic soulmates, in which this can be a romantic partner, which, by the way, soulmates can be friends, they can be lovers, they can be parents, kids, your kids or whatever. A karmic soulmate could be somebody who's actually your archenemy, but that person is the person that propels you to your highest growth. They force you up against all of your barriers to love and make you rise above them. So there are different types of soulmates. And then there's twin flame, which would again be different beyond those companion or karmic soulmates.
Now, can you kind of explain the dynamics between the experience of coming in contact with your twin flame? What a person actually goes through? Can you kind of shed a little bit of light on for us? Because a lot of people, I feel, I'll probably talk a little bit, not disclosing any names or anything, but I feel that I have come in contact with my twin flame, and I believe I know who that person is because of the dynamics of what's going on between us or surrounding us or has been going on for many years. I didn't understand, and it caused me to want to look into the topic of twin flames or about soulmates, and then I came into a little bit of knowledge about the twin flames. Can you kind of explain what a person actually goes through when they're on the path or, meeting their twin flame?
Sure. That's a really good question, because what happens, and the reason I'm writing the books, is it absolutely knocks you off your feet. This is unlike anything you have ever felt before. It is the most compelling magnetic force that you can possibly feel, because in the twin flame energy in that relationship is pretty much all of God. It's like the divine feminine and the divine masculine coming together for this incredibly powerful spiritual force. And if you don't know what that is, you can go bonkers on it. You can just say, oh, what is this? A lot of times people will, if they meet the twin flame while they're in a marriage to somebody else, it can just drive them nuts. It's so frightening and scary and so compelling that people don't know what to do with it. A good example of a twin flame union that was handled properly would be the singer Amy Grant and her husband Vince Gill, who's also a country singer. And they met while they were both married to somebody else. But because they had good values, because they were reasonable, healthy people, they took their time. They managed it really well, and they divorced each other's partners before getting together. They tried to do it in an honorable, loving way for all parties. And even though they did that, they got a tremendous amount of criticism from people saying, oh, they shouldn't have gotten divorced. They're just weird. They're just making something out of it. But they talked about when they met each other that the magnetic attraction was so powerful, they couldn't stop it. And that's what that feels like.
Wow. I am so glad that you're saying that, because in sharing just a little bit of what my own experience with the twin flame, this person has repetitively been present in my life, and it's just been that dynamic of this really, spiritual pull between the two of us, and it is something that you can't, you brings you to the point of, oh my goodness, you want to like grab onto something and say, what is this, what's going on? And so I certainly can relate to that actual feeling, and I believe that and you explaining just what you explained, that I am on to the proper path of understanding a little bit about better about the twin flame dynamic.
Yeah, that thing that you mentioned, Michelle, like, oh my gosh, what is going on? And then a lot of times twin flames will meet, and then they'll resist each other, and then they'll be compelled back to each other, and then they'll run away from each other again. This man and I, that was my twin flame, we broke up 3 times before we ever got together because it was so compelling. We go, we've got to get away from this. What's going on? And we were never even together, and we were breaking up. And I'm never going to talk to you again. It was kind of crazy. And I'd like to read a couple quotes that exemplify that energy. Here's a quote from the book Hot Chocolate for the Mystical Lover. And it says, suddenly, I looked across at him and time stood still. I knew, without a shadow of a doubt, that he and I would be together. My heart screamed, yes, in a burst of joy. My mind screamed, no, in panic and disbelief. I just sat there, stunned. And that conflicting emotion is real common with this type of thing. The other quote is also from Hot Chocolate for the Mystical Lover, and it reads, I was sitting in the passenger seat of his car, engaged in deep and flirtatious conversation, thinking to myself, oh my God, I'm going to marry this man. This is my soulmate. To which my mind replied, you are crazy. You hardly know this guy. He lives 100 miles away from you. Get a grip. So those kind of explain that conflict that we feel inside.
So do you think that because of what you spoke on earlier about twin flames, sometimes most often do not work romantically, do you think that is more consistent that they don't work romantically as opposed to a person being with a soulmate? Because it seems like you were saying that a soulmate, you have less conflict with the soulmate as opposed to your twin flame in a romantic relationship. Is that what I'm hearing from you?
Yeah, the twin flame relationship is much harder to make work than just the soulmate relationship. And that's because the intensity between the two of them is so great that people can't handle it. The truth is, we often think that we run away from our depression and we run away from fear and darkness. But the truth is, we run away from love. And the feeling of love and connection and oneness with this person is so strong that we freak out and run away from love. And that's counterintuitive. So what happens when twin flames fight and when twin flames separate, it's excruciatingly painful. And what a lot of them will do, which leads to this running phenomenon that you'll read about if you research it, is that people can't handle it, so they just try to cut it right out of their lives. And my partner, he physically ran. He slammed the door on our relationship. And then, of course, we stayed in contact by phone here and there. And then we got together again, and then he slammed the door again. My running was more emotional, but in the interim, when we weren't physically seeing each other, I kept saying, I've got to get him out of my life. I've got to get him out of my life. And it was this tormenting thing that I could not get him out of my life. And when I finally went and saw this woman who had psychic abilities And I said, well, how come I cannot get this person out of my life? He feels like he's in every fiber of my being. And this was after I had remarried someone else, and I still kept thinking about this person. She goes, I'm getting the words twin flame, and I don't even know what that means, but there's a book by Elizabeth Clare Prophet called Twin Flames and Soulmates. That's a good book for people to read on this. It's just a tiny little book. Twin Flames and Soulmates. Oh, no, Soulmates and Twin Flames by Elizabeth Clare Prophet, spelled just like a prophet of God.
Okay. And this is what she was sharing with you or to advising you to read at the time?
Yeah, she encouraged me to read that and check it out, and it explained a lot of what I was feeling and experiencing. So it made me feel like I wasn't quite so crazy.
So you think that if you're dealing with that those emotions and that type of a thing going on in your life, you need to seek other help to break the bond or that dynamic that's going between you and this person? Or
well, the bond cannot be broken, for one. Like I mentioned, I tried to get this person out of my soul for all these years. I did everything I could. I threw away pictures. I cut off contact. I wrote in my journals. I went to therapists who just called me love sick and codependent, and somehow it had to do with my mom and my dad and my issues around them, and nothing, none of that took it away. What finally brought me to peace was forgiving myself, forgiving him, forgiving myself, forgiving the whole situation, and now I'm at peace about it. So the bond will not break. And as far as needing to seek outside help, I think if you don't know what's happening to you, you should look up books and things on the internet about twin flames. Most therapists are not going to be able to help you with this unless they themselves understand and recognize the twin flame concept and hear the journey of the twin flame, all the obstacles and all the things that happen when you meet this person. Because I went to several therapists, and I was a therapist myself, and all they did was lump me into the same category with all these books about women who fell in love too much and women who were lovesick and women who were codependent. But I had ended the relationship it was not a good relationship because we were fighting all the time. And we had both ended it, but it never ended in my heart and in my mind. And the therapist had no clue what this was. They just did not know about it. So I would not recommend going to a therapist who doesn't understand twin flames.
Okay. All those under the sound of my voice, thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to take a brief break, and we'll come back with more on twin flames. Just take a quick break here. And because I'm really enjoying the information that we have going on here. And I'm certainly know that a lot of other people are looking forward to having some more information or discussion on this. Okay.
Are you trying to get pregnant? Need to feel confident about treatments ahead? Need to save money, time, and heartache? Are you willing to follow 4 proven modules to be strong, gain knowledge, overcome obstacles, and gain freedom from worry? Contact Hold Your Hand Fertility Coaching and reserve your spot today. www.holdyourhandfertilitycoach.com.
Like to read but haven't got time for bookstores? Then try Whispers Publishing. They've got hundreds of e-books with new ones being added every 2 weeks. You can find and read many award-winning authors in a variety of genres. Can't make a choice? Then why not check out the readers' reviews or even add your own? Whispers Publishing is dedicated to your reading entertainment. So what are you waiting for? Visit whispershome.com now.
All All right, welcome back, Detroit, and all our global listeners. You're tuned in to the Poetic Energy Network station. And we have a very special guest, Ms. Lori Coburn from Ann Arbor, Michigan, 25-year psychotherapist and author of Breaking Free. Welcome back, Ms. Coburn.
Thank you.
We are in the discussion of twin flames. And I'm very enjoying all the information that you're sharing with us because it does shed, you have shed a lot of light on some of the things that other people might perhaps be going through. Let's talk a little bit more about the, once you come in before a person that is considered your twin flame, do you believe there is an instant, do you instantly know this person when you come face to face with them, or is there some other identifying mark that this person is your twin flame?
Some people instantly know them. Those would be the I saw him from across the room stories. Other people don't necessarily know them for a while, and then one day the recognition lights up. And one of the things about twin flames is that sometimes you can't tell with a soulmate or a twin flame if they really are that until enough time has passed and the bond continues over all that time. Like, for example, with a soulmate, you can, like my first husband, he was a soulmate of mine, but we had a mission together, and that was to have my daughter and then to go through some custody things around my daughter. That was our mission. But that mission is done now, and he is no longer in my life because the mission is completed. And it feels very done emotionally and physically with him. With a twin flame, your bond is eternal. It's the mission does not get done. It just doesn't. So as far as recognizing them, you'll recognize it eventually, but not necessarily instantly.
Okay. Now, is between the two of them, will both of them typically know, or will one know and the other not know? Is that kind of how it goes with, you know, the being approached with the twin flames?
It depends on the people. If they are open-minded and keep their heart open, there's a place within their heart where they do know it. And even if they deny it or run away, deep down they know. You can't have this kind of feeling and not know. It's just there. You cannot know only if you're lying to yourself.
All right. Because I think a lot of people are going through the same motions that we talked about earlier of being so deeply, feeling so deeply connected with the person, and they don't know where that energy is coming from, so they kind of run away from it or they deny those mm-hmm. feelings between this person. We have a couple more people in the chat room here. Coming through. I just want to quickly remind everyone the calling number is 917-932-8881. If you want to call in and ask some questions, this is now the time. We still have quite a bit of time, so feel free to call in and join in on the discussion or get some of your questions answered. All right. We do have a caller. So we'll take a caller here. Lori, how about that?
Yes.
Okay. Caller from the 313, you are on the air with Michelle E. Alford and our very special guest, Ms. Lori Coburn. Who do we have on the air, and do you have a question or a comment?
My name is Frances. I have a question. I would like
sure.
to know, I just want to ask a question. Is it ever good to approach someone who feels like you're a twin flame or soulmate with your feelings?
It would depend on the person. It would depend on the circumstances. You have to go within your own heart and ask your inner wisdom, is it wise to approach this person? And only you can really make that decision. And if you're honest with yourself, you'll get a yay or a nay inside about whether or not you should do that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for calling in.
You're welcome.
All right, we have yet some more time, guys. If I see many of you on the switchboard, so feel free to raise your hand so that I know that you want to speak to our guests or ask a question. We don't bite, so we certainly welcome you here. Many of you in the chat room, thank you so much for tuning into the show this evening. We appreciate your presence here.
I think in response also to the last caller, what can happen, which can be very frightening, is if somebody feels this toward another person and either one of them or both of them are married, that can cause a lot of problems and a lot of consternation. And what I counsel people to do is if that is your situation where you think this person is your soulmate, to sit on it and wait and to go within and really examine what's going on. That may be a case where you would want to go to therapy and find out, is this coming up because I'm troubled? Is this a sign of a troubled marriage? Is this person really a soulmate? And what will happen is when you work through your own inner conflicts, you will then be guided whether or not you're supposed to leave your current marriage or not. You can have a soulmate, or you can even have a twin flame without necessarily leaving your current marriage. And I'm not suggesting an affair. Affairs almost always come to no good. I don't recommend them at all. Mm-hmm. However, when you work through the feelings, a lot of times you will see if it's not a soulmate, as you work through your own personal issues or problems, the attraction to that other person will fade. And one of the dangers of this whole thing is that when people fall in love or they have real strong attractions, they can feel like soulmates or twin flames when they're really not. Because falling in love can feel the same across the board initially. The thing about soulmates and twin flames is that they endure long beyond the initial phases.
That's a great point you brought up, because a lot of times people are strongly attached to people and they feel like that this must be my soulmate. Mm-hmm. And it's just something, I don't know what it is, perhaps lust.
Yeah.
Or just a strong desire to, you know, be with that person because they are attracted to something else about them. So I'm glad that you brought up that point. Now, with the, you know, going between the soulmates, twin flames, I'm thinking that it's, you know, because you didn't send most of your comments about soulmates seem so much like a much better relationship or connection than being with your twin flame. I was reading some material about the twin flame, and it was saying that twin flames can have more of a spiritual mission than a romantic connection. Is that typically true? Is it in some points where a person that has a twin flame, they're really meant to be do something with humanitarian type of missions or spiritual missions together? And not anything romantic at all?
Well, that is an excellent point. One of the websites that I was on said, you don't want a twin flame. It's too much hard work. You would rather have your soulmate. And I kind of have to agree with that, because my twin flame experience has been extremely difficult. And it also has led to what you call that humanitarian type of mission, at least on my part, because it has been what has spurred on my spiritual growth toward writing these books and going out into the world and helping other people with this situation. But it has forced me to go through the fire and go through a lot of trauma to get out the other side to where I'm healthy enough to do this. So in one sense, yes, it's easier to have a soulmate than a twin flame. On the other hand, I wouldn't trade my twin flame experience for the world, because it was, when I was with him, the most intense experience of oneness that I have ever felt with any human being. However, now I have that oneness with myself, my higher self, with God, with humanity. So where it was limited to him before, he was the portal. He was the door, the opening that showed me what it could be like. And I am forever grateful to him for that. Now, the other thing, when you mentioned going on the websites and reading these different definitions, there are no hard and fast definitions. You'll find different definitions out there for soulmates, for twin flames. And what I recommend is that you look at your own experience and which definitions work best for you. Because when we're dealing with matters of the heart and the soul, how can you really define that? You can't, really.
Absolutely.
So...
Now, is there ever a time with the twin flame, is there ever a time where a person can choose you in your youth and that could be your twin flame, or is it more typical that that could be a person, a male, a female situation where a man chooses you as a young man, chooses you, something about you that that was attractive to him even as a little boy? Could that be something more of a soulmate issue or a twin flame issue?
It could be either. And it's hard to tell unless you just end up comparing them to other relationships in your life. And one of the things, too, is that sometimes the definitions can get in the way. Like, is this person my twin flame or is it just a soulmate? And ultimately, it doesn't really matter, because with every person in our life, we grow. And whoever is there in front of us is our learning partner. One of the things A Course in Miracles uses is it does not use the word soulmates. It uses the word learning partners and says that you will have a handful of specific learning partners in your life who will give you your biggest forgiveness lessons to lead you back to God, to your higher self. So those are what we would call the soulmate or the twin flame. And there are angels, there are saviors, they're the ones that lead us to truth. So if you're not sure if it's a soulmate or a twin flame, I wouldn't worry too much about the definition or get hung up on that. For me, the reason I used that definition was once I had the definition of twin flame, it was like, that's what's happening to me. I'm not crazy.
You know, I'm glad you're making all these points, because so many people are experiencing these type of things that you were speaking about earlier, just going through these motions that they feel like they're so overwhelmed and so consumed with this person, and they keep running away from those emotions and those feelings. And I can be honest with myself, that the experience that I've had with a person that keeps, coming back in my life. We've never been together romantically, but over the years, this person has always been present in my life. And it's always been a good experience, coincidentally. But the emotions or the feelings that I have about this person are not, I don't feel necessarily romantically connected to this person, but it just keeps pulling me spiritually, because we have some pretty much a spiritual connection also, or a spiritual history. And I kind of run away from it, because I've been trying to figure out my own self. What is this between me and this person? Well, we've never been in a relationship, but there's this strong bond. And, and of course, I've never discussed this with this person, because, I've been trying to understand the dynamics between this connection we have. I know it has, it's spiritually charged, but beyond the other things, I just don't really see that. It just goes back to our spiritual connection, the things that we have developed together in just being connected with one another. But, you know, it's kind of crazy because you do want to have an explanation as to why you're going through this with an individual, and they may or may not be going through the same issue. And this is some of the things that, you know, concerns me, that if you are experiencing these things with this person, would they be experiencing those same things as well?
They probably are. Whether or not they allow them into their conscious awareness is another matter. Sometimes people will try to slam the door on that, shut it off, or run away, just like you mentioned, that you want to run away from this sometimes because it's scary or whatever. And it would be interesting to see if you did broach this person, if he has the same feelings, and then what you would decide to do with that. And that's where you want to have caution and move slowly and keep your head about you, which is rather hard to do when you're falling in love. Because if you don't do it correctly and if you don't deal with all your own issues that will come up, then the relationship could crash and burn. But it doesn't have to crash and burn. And in fact, when you bring up issues of ways that you don't love yourself or ways that you don't love life and they come out in your relationship, they're an opportunity to heal. So it's not bad when soulmates or twin flames fight necessarily. It's just if they don't handle the intensity properly, then it can get bad. So, yeah, he probably has the same feelings. And since you mentioned that, it's been for many, many years with your case, I would say that it's definitely a soulmate in your life, if not a twin flame.
Okay. Well, we definitely enjoy the conversation here. And, again, I just want to remind folks that the call-in number is 917-932-8881. We've had one Blaze Soul called in, and I see many of you on the switchboard. So feel free to select option one, and we will definitely connect you in. Again, it's a radio show, and if you have questions, we definitely have someone here to answer those things for you. I am not an expert on twin flames, so this is why I brought someone here to discuss this with you, because I know many of you may end up inboxing me, asking me questions, and I wanted to bring someone who can answer those questions for you. So definitely feel free. Thank all everyone that's in the chat room. We especially appreciate your presence here. All right. But, you know, Ms., do you prefer me to call you Lori or Ms. Colburn?
Oh, Lori's fine.
No, Lori. Okay. Thank you for explaining that, because it is important to know if that person is feeling, because at one point I wanted to, kind of get in the position where, you know, should I say something to this person? Because, I want to know, I want to get this off of me and, you know, have them, you know, feel the same things I'm feeling so I could get a little bit of this pressure off of me. But, you know, being the type of person I am, I just, you know, certain things I will not approach a person by. I would have to have them kind of approach me with certain things, especially when it comes between the connection between a male and a female. It's just, it's just kind of my method or my process of handling possible things or matters of the heart.
Well, if you're meant to be together, then something will compel him or will compel you to break that rule to get you together. The universe has a way of forcing us together if we're meant to be, or having us meet when circumstances would be unlikely for that. And I can tell you a story about approaching somebody. I actually approached my current partner, who is a soulmate of mine. His name is Rod. And I was married in my second marriage, and I kept getting these things about him. And I thought, what is going on here? I had no clue. I didn't think we were supposed to be together or anything like that. I just said, there's something going on here, so I will approach him. He was actually a very good friend of mine from church. So I thought, well, I'll just approach him and mention this, and then it'll be off my chest, and it'll go away. Well, I approached him, and he said, oh, 10 years ago when you were at church and you were giving that seminar, I looked at you and said, whoa. And then a couple years ago when you came over my house and you hugged me, the electric charge was so much I had to go back in the back room and shake it off before I could come out again. And that was not what I was expecting to hear. I was expecting, oh, okay, fine, it's gone. It was just a passing attraction with a friend. And now he and I have been together for 12 years. It was the best decision I ever made. I did not have an affair with him because I don't believe in those. I actually did that with my first marriage. That's why I crashed and burned. It was not a good thing to do. And I had to forgive myself for that. This time, I did it right. I listened to my inner spirit. I listened to the wisdom. I proceeded slowly. I checked it out and left in an integrous manner. And then I got with him. And it was the best decision I've ever made in my life. It's just this beautiful relationship we have.
That's awesome. I'm glad you shared that story because so many people are almost compelled to, you know, do something about it. But, you know, is there ever a good time to really do that? And you really have to really weigh out all, you know, your thoughts and really think things through. And I think that's very important because you can possibly get embarrassed.
Right. Well, yeah, it's very frightening. The intensity of the energy can scare you off. And when he responded in the way he did, that he had had these feelings about me all these years, and actually he had been married and his wife was a friend of mine as well, but she had passed away. And I had no clue that he had those feelings for me because he was always respectful and kept his distance. And when he told me he had those feelings, I went home and I broke down and cried and I was upset and I did not want to hear that and I did not like that because I was married. I didn't want to upset my life again. It was like, what the heck is going on? I was mad at God. I'm like, don't give me this again. Don't give me someone else that now my life is messed up again. So it can be a very frightening, difficult thing. But fortunately, I had matured enough to be able to handle it and to take my time and have the inner wisdom to do it properly.
Yeah, that is so important what you just mentioned about you definitely should be mature about the whole situation and just wait and think things through and be spiritually ready for something like this because it couldn't be, you know, there's nothing easy about this at all. Even just discussing it seems very difficult.
Right. It's not easy at all. I was in a very comfortable marriage. I had married on the rebound from my twin flame a man who was very nice, very good man. But I was spiritually dead. I could not connect to him. We had no life between us as partners. And spiritual growth is the most important thing in my life, and I could not do that with him. And so what happens is most people stay comfortable in their marriages. And that's an okay choice to make, I mean, if they want to do that. But for me, I had to break out. I had to grow or else I would have become depressed and lost my vitality for life. So it was a very painful decision to make because I did not want to hurt him. But we did not have children together. And so that, if we had had a child together, I would have stayed in the marriage.
So, you know, in saying that, do you think that that could be the cause of many people, of many marriages not working is because they decide to stay and know that they're not truly meant to be with this person?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of us get married for all the wrong reasons. We marry too young. We marry people on the rebound. We marry certain people to run away from our soulmates and our twin flames. I know that my twin flame did that. He ran away from me. He married somebody else to run away from me.
Wow. Can we talk a little bit more about your book, Breaking Free?
Oh, sure. Now, that is not about soulmates at all. I don't have anything in there about that. Breaking Free is about forgiveness through the path of A Course in Miracles, which is a path that tells us that people in our lives are there for a reason, that anyone who has hurt you or done something to you that you're angry about has done it with your tacit permission. For example, in your soul, you guys sort of made this agreement that you would act this out so that that person could teach you how to forgive and how to open your heart more to love. And that's where I feel like my twin flame has served me very well. He has hurt me more than anyone in the world, but I've also learned my deepest forgiveness lessons with him. And it has expanded me to this place of love for people that I never had before. So now I can serve humanity in a much better way. And the book has a bunch of stories from my own life and from my psychotherapy practice that illustrate the principles of forgiveness in ways that are easy to understand. A Course in Miracles calls us to take complete responsibility for our lives and say that we are never victims. Even though someone may have victimized us at this level, on a higher spiritual level, we are never victims. And until we take responsibility for that and forgive people, then we are going to be angry, bitter, depressed, anxious, sick, whatever. So this is all about forgiving.
I'm glad you brought. I wanted to bring that up because I do see how it still can coincide with the topic of the discussion tonight. Because we oftentimes are dealing with things within our own selves, and then on top of that, trying to invite other people in our lives, our soulmate, our twin flames, but we can't do that because we're dealing with so many other things that we haven't addressed in our lives. So this is why I wanted you to talk about the contents of your book, because I think it's relative even to the discussion tonight.
Oh, it is. A lot of us have been hurt so bad by our soulmates or our twin flames, and we have to forgive them. And they can be the hardest ones to forgive because they're the closest to our heart. It took me almost 20 years to forgive my twin flame. It was that difficult. And so much going against what I thought we were supposed to have. So when I read these things about the mission that twin flames have, because I kept saying, well, maybe he's not my twin flame because shouldn't we be together? And that's where that definition that you mentioned about the twin flames have a mission. That mission has been fulfilled. We have not been together physically, but the mission of expanding consciousness, expanding love, reaching into our higher, at least for me, reaching into the higher self and serving humanity has been fulfilled. So the twin flame mission did work regardless of the romance.
All right. That's awesome. It's definitely important for people to understand the differences between the two soulmate and the twin flames. And I think, with the discussion tonight, I'm leaning more favorable to the soulmate because I tell myself that I only want to be married once.
Mm-hmm.
And so far I can remain true to that because I have never been married at all.
Uh-huh.
But I've been asked plenty of times. But, it just has to be, be right for me.
Mm-hmm.
But, I think it's also important to understand, what we're speaking on tonight, your soulmate and your twin flame and how to identify with those two roles and approach life accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that the spiritual part of it is, does the role of what type of religion or what type of, I don't want to use the word religion because it's definitely totally different from a spiritual connection. Does that play a role in identifying with your soulmate or your twin flames, where you are spiritually as far as what type of spiritual beliefs you have? Does that play any role in it at all?
It can. There are certain religions that recognize soulmates as a vital part of our path back to God. The Sufism, which is the mystical arm of Islam, the Judaism, the Kabbalah, and the book, the text, the Zohar, talk about needing your soulmate, your other half, to get back to God. In Hinduism, the Ramayana is a very popular love story where Rama has to go and find, I think it's Sita, I don't know quite all the characters, but it's a love story where the soulmates or the twin flames are separated, and it's up to the guy to go after and search out and find her and go through all these obstacles that he has to overcome in order to get back with her. And that's what my next book is going to be about, which is what I call the hero's journey through the soulmate path, that we are presented with all these obstacles. We're presented with challenges and tests that we have to pass and overcome to prove that our love and our forgiveness is stronger than our demons, stronger than our hatred, stronger than our complacency. And when we do that, then we attain a higher level of consciousness and a higher level of love. So yes, if you have a certain religious path that honors soulmates, then that can help you, because you see it and go, oh, this is what's happening to me. This is my particular path.
Great. You know, I thought that may have something to do with, because you are really dealing with the spiritual realm also with this dynamic to me, you know, just the little bit I know about the twin flames. It just has spiritual charge all through it. So I thought it would be something that definitely was spiritually motivated. Now, if two people are, would you say that if a person's in the circumstances of going through the motions of having these different emotional things going on with understanding the soulmate and twin flame issue, would you recommend that a person continue to be, you know, pray about it, or you know, stay in meditation about it, or what would you recommend for a person to do if they don't necessarily want to approach the person whom they think is their soulmate or twin flame, but they want to figure out a way to deal with it on a regular basis until something transpires? Or
yeah, absolutely. Keep meditating and praying on it and asking for guidance from God or the Holy Spirit or your inner voice, however that works for you, your angels or your guides, because it's not going to let you go. If you are meant to be with this person or do some work with this person, it will not let you go. And that's the whole thing. If you try to push it away, you're actually hurting yourself. So rather than push it away, look at it. Look at it fully. Look at it with somebody who honors it and understands it. I have a lot of friends, and I have a lot of therapist colleague friends, but I can count on one hand the number of people in my life who understand the twin flame concept. People who have not experienced the intensity of that, they don't get it. They simply do not get it. And then a lot of, unfortunately, in our Western society, soulmates are poo-pooed. They're considered willy-nilly or woo-woo, or, oh, that's for people who are just romantic and don't have their stuff together and stuff. And that's unfortunate, because a lot of us who have had this intense experience, then we feel guilty or we feel less than or we feel crazy, which is why I'm writing my books.
Oh, wow. I hear you keep talking about the book. I can't, you know, now you're making me want to make sure I hurry up and get that book just to, you know, read more about what you're going to be speaking about. You still there, Lori?
Yes, I'm still here, yes.
Okay,
yes.
I'm sorry.
Well, I don't know when my next books will come out yet. I'm still writing them, and Spirit tends to write through me at its own pace. So it could be soon, it could be in the next 6 months, or it could be another year or two. I have no idea. But I am actually giving a workshop at Crazy Wisdom Bookstore on Saturday, April 28th. And it's from 10:30 to 4:30, and it's on the soulmate forgiveness journey. and that's in Ann Arbor. And if people go on my website, which is lauricoburn.com, that's Lori, L-O-R-R-I, two R's, Coburn, C-O-B-U-R-N.com, lauricoburn.com, there is a link there with that has a flyer for the workshop. I don't have a lot of information. I don't actually have any information about soulmates on my website because my current website is all about the other book on forgiveness called Breaking Free.
Okay. I did put your web information into the chat room.
Okay.
And the title of your book and everything for people to go and support that. Well, the timing, we are going into a little bit of overtime here. I did want, however, ask just a couple more questions, if you don't mind.
Sure.
One of the questions that I do want to kind of address for probably a lot of the listeners here is the twin flame or soulmate connection, is it gender specific? That is one of the questions that we wanted to ask here on the show.
No, it's not. It can be the same sex as you are, or it can be the opposite sex. What happens is that the energy in the twin flame, even if, say, it's a gay couple, the energy, however, will be one half of it will be the masculine energy and one half will be the feminine energy. But even when I worked with gay couples in my counseling practice, you would see that anyway, that one person took on the so-called male role and one person took on the female role, regardless of whether they were gay or straight.
Okay. Because I think, you know, with so many people who are open to, I think there was a relative question, because so many people are not in heterosexual relationships, so they may still be experiencing the same dynamics between trying to figure out the twin flame soulmate thing and it's with someone of the same sex as them. So
right.
I wanted to definitely ask that question for all of our listeners here. To be fair across the board.
I know a number of gay couples that are definitely soulmates. I don't know if they're twin flames or not, but definitely soulmates.
Right. Well, we definitely got that question in the queue here. I definitely want to ask the very last question is, now, is there ever a time where that you feel that a person, like if they're experiencing going through these motions, should they go to a pastor? If they're under a leadership of a ministry or what have you, go to a pastor with questions regarding this, or you think it's something that, again, should be specifically talked about with someone who just totally understands this whole phenomenon of the twin flame?
It would depend on the pastor and how open-minded that person was. And if you had looked up something on a website, say, and you could point the pastor to that, and that pastor would go there and read it and understand if he or she weren't already familiar with it. So the thing about any type of counseling, whether it be a psychotherapist or a pastor on any issue, not just twin flames, is that their own biases can come into it. It's not supposed to, but they do anyway. And if they don't understand something or they don't agree with something, especially church-related things can be quite black and white about what's right and what's wrong, then you could end up feeling more guilty. I ended up with my last therapist actually telling her about the situation and saying, no, I'm sorry. I had gotten enough courage by that time to say, you don't know enough about this. I finally had the bravery to say that. So, because before that, it was just, I just felt more guilty. So if you go to the wrong person, you can end up feeling more confused and more guilty. So it's just a matter of sensing that out with your inner wisdom and trusting yourself.
Now, with you being a psychotherapist, I heard you mention earlier that you have a lot of people that are, you know, therapists, or are you just saying that you have friends in that field? Should a person, is there a list, or do you have something on your website where if a person, you know, even yourself, if a person was interested in speaking on this topic or seeking more guidance on their on this topic, would you feel comfortable with referring people to you or someone else you may know who are very skilled on the topic?
Actually, on my website, I do have a link for spiritual coaching with me. So I do that. And I truly don't know any other counselors who are skilled in this or knowledgeable enough in this at this point. I hope that as I'm doing research and getting more contacts that I'll have people to refer people to, because I can refer them on all different kinds of topics. But on this one, I have to unfortunately say that most psychotherapists don't have a clue about what this is and would dismiss it as a love addiction. And it's different than a love addiction. So and my website, again, is lauricoburn.com, LauriCoburn.com.
Lori, do you have a fan page?
I do have a Facebook link on this website. Now, the thing is that if somebody were to like that, it actually goes to my Breaking Free book. I don't have a link yet. I do have a page on Facebook that I can tell you the name of the page, but I don't have a link to it yet. It's called Even Soulmates Get the Blues. That's the title of my next book, Even Soulmates Get the Blues. So that would be my Facebook page that I just started up. I just actually started writing about the soulmates thing. So it's brand new. I don't have all the resources like I do with the Course in Miracles and Forgiveness.
Okay. I just want to make sure that, because we still have people hanging out in the chat room, even though we're still streaming live and we still have people hanging out, and I wanted to make sure that we get that information to them, and we have still quite a few people hanging out with us on the switchboard. So, again, I wanted them to be able to connect with you beyond the show so they can get more information from you or either, you know, follow you until you do come out with your next book.
Thank you.
Well, I guess we're at this time we will wrap it up, but I want to ask you what would be your last parting encouraging words to a person, to those persons wanting to get resolved with the soulmate twin flame issue? What would be some parting encouraging words you would give to them to do at this point in their lives until the two of them or unite as together in whatever capacity that is?
There's a scene in the Disney movie Pocahontas, where Pocahontas goes to Grandmother Willow, the willow tree, and asks her advice. And the answer is, listen to your heart, you will understand. So I would say, listen to your heart, you will understand, and also go slow, listen to your head as well as your heart. Don't make any rash moves or impulsive moves, but as you listen to your wisdom and you get guidance from that, you'll know what to do.
Lori, at this time, I want to thank you so much for coming to the show and being a very, very special guest. It's been great having you talk on this discussion, and I'm sure, and I want to thank the caller for calling in and all of the people that are in radio land for tuning in to the show. I know many people are probably going to get the opportunity to go back into the archives as well. But I want to thank you for sharing your knowledge on the topic, because it's definitely something that people are interested in, but they don't know how to quite reach out and really kind of talk about it, because I think that so many people feel like it's just a taboo topic because so many people are unfamiliar about what it is truly all about, and but they seek understanding for, you know, on the topic. So thank you for, you know, just sharing the knowledge that you have and just shedding a little bit of light on the topic for us. And we hope that we can have you come back on the show in the future, of course, when you come out with your new book. We like to remind everybody that you do currently have a book out entitled Breaking Free, which is on her website at lauriecoburn.com.
It's make also sure you on go Amazon. Out and,
also on Amazon.com, so make sure you go out and support that, because this is one of the things that we do here on this show to make sure that we support everyone that grace our show. So, again, thank you so much, Lori. We certainly appreciate you, and I hope you have a great rest of the evening, and do come back again.
Okay. Thank you so much, Michelle. I had a good time.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. With
all righty.
All that being
okay,
good
bye-bye.
Night, Detroit, and all our global listeners. We are going to take it out jazzy for you with Yancey.